Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Diaries of a Sleep Coach podcast. My name is Kai Liu, founder of Lullaby Liu, and I'm a pediatric sleep consultant who is here to share and talk about all things related to this journey we call motherhood, but specifically when it comes to getting our little ones sleeping through the night. Whether it's experience I've had working with families one-on-one, my own journey as a mother to my two girls, or taking the time to answer questions from all of you about your little one's sleep, I'm here to share what I know. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Diaries of a Sleep Coach. Today, I have my first podcast guest, and I'm super excited about it. I want to start inviting more women, specifically moms and expecting moms, onto the podcast to talk about their journeys. And I have a lot of great ideas and women in mind who I think a lot of you will resonate with, or maybe one of those people may be you, and I'll be reaching out to you very shortly. But I love that I am able to just kind of share my own experience on this platform and share what I do. And I think that it will be awesome to kind of incorporate more women into the podcast. So today my guest is my really good friend, Emily, and we actually met 8 years ago. You'll hear about it here in a minute in the interview, but we met 8 years ago when we were both doing a teaching program in California, and then we became roommates and have just remained great friends ever since. Maxine and Sloan were actually, or I guess Sloan wasn't because she was a little bit too little, but last summer Maxine was one of Emily's flower girls at her wedding, and it was amazing. And she's currently expecting her first baby boy, and today's episode is just all about what it's like to be a mom expecting a little one during this weird time. And then we talk a little bit about mental health and the importance of taking care of our own mental health, especially for us women and moms. We talk a little bit about social media and how setting boundaries can be super important, especially right now. And then just some fun things too, like specific books that she recommends and things that she's looking forward to in terms of becoming a mom. So I really think that this episode will resonate with all of you, and there are just so many takeaways. So enjoy. I hope you like this episode. Okay, so we're all set. Okay, so Emily, you're my first official podcast guest. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
I'm so excited too. Thanks for having me.
Fun. Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for agreeing to this. I really thought I want to start incorporating more stories of other women, especially moms and expecting moms. And I just thought it would be really interesting to have you on, because to have the perspective of somebody who's actually expecting a baby in this super weird time, and also, like, and we'll get into your background a little bit more too, like just your background and your story. And I thought it would be something that a lot of the listeners would be super interested in. So, so why don't you just first introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about you and yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Emily Love. You and I have been friends for 8 years now?
Yeah, 8 years. I was thinking about that earlier. I'm like, how has it already been 8 years? Time is going by so fast.
You know, it's so crazy. It feels like yesterday. So we met in Teach for America, working in California, which was super great, living in Berkeley. I miss those days. I now live in the Providence, Rhode Island area with my husband. We are expecting our first baby. I'm 7 months pregnant. During COVID, if you're listening to this, this is July of 2020. I'm a therapist, currently working as a therapist and also a researcher at Brown University. So pretty busy schedule, trying to figure out how it's all going to look come September.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure like finding out you're pregnant and it was so exciting. I remember it all. And now you're just like, it's just so, I remember a few months ago when you were told that maybe TJ wouldn't be able to go to an ultrasound, right? Like, I feel like this time is just such a strange time for all of us, but I can't imagine being pregnant and like knowing that there's a possibility that your partner wouldn't be able to be in there with you for your first ultrasound to see your baby.
Yeah, and he actually wasn't, so he was not allowed in any of the ultrasound rooms except for one place in all of Rhode Island, because I ended up calling around to every single ultrasound place in Rhode
I love how
Island.
you like took initiative and you called every single place to find the one place that would allow it.
Yeah, and of course, like we, you know, were safe and had masks, and we were the only people in there. We actually ended up going to this tiny little beach town called Narragansett. If you're familiar with New England, you might know about it. It's a beach town in Rhode Island. There was only one doctor, one nurse, and the two of us in the whole, you know, unit. So it was probably safer than if we were to have got if I were to have gotten an ultrasound in Providence anyway, because I would have been waiting in a waiting room with some other people. So it ended up working out better for us, and it was nice because TJ could actually be there, and that was important for both of us, I think, having him there
Yeah, especially
to
for
see
your
the
first,
baby.
it's such a special moment. Yeah, I can't imagine. Like, I know I've seen a lot of people who I follow on Instagram and they've posted their solo shots of them being in the doctor's office because they couldn't have their partner in there with them. And yeah, it's so sad. But I mean, it is what it is, I guess, but still we're all kind of in the same situation. We're not all in the same situation. That's not what I mean, but like we have to follow those precautions. But
For sure. And it's
yeah.
important. The most important thing is like everyone's safety. So, and we definitely understand that and try to be really respectful of that. And at the same time, you have to figure out like how can I also advocate for my needs in a way that is safe. And yeah, it's definitely a uncharted territory, I think.
Yeah, I think like being pregnant the first time is already such a new thing, and then going through it during this time is even, crazy new. But yeah, so it sounds like though like everyone's taking it really seriously there now, right? Or is it, what do you think?
I disagree. I think so. You're obviously in Amsterdam, and it seems like things have gone fairly back to normal there, because in a lot of Europe, like you guys have successfully slowed the spread. It seems like people were really great about following guidelines from the beginning where you
Yeah.
are.
I think
Is that
people
what you're
really
saying?
just like hunkered down here and other aside from like going outside and doing things or going to the store only for things that we needed for like a good 2, 3 months almost. It was like deserted outside completely.
Yeah, see, like here, I just think, you know, and obviously this is a more of a political conversation, but like there's such a divide in this country, and people have different opinions, I guess, about this pandemic, and it's causing them to act very different ways. So you have people who are completely social distancing and taking extreme precautions, and then you have people who are out partying on 4th of July in big groups with no masks, and it's literally like I don't see a lot of in between, and I do think that's part of why we're just continuing to struggle here. Like this past week, COVID numbers have been higher than they've been the entire pandemic in the United States. So it's difficult being pregnant during that because you want other people to like take it as seriously as you do and like protect their health and your health and everyone's health, and just not everyone's seeing it that way. So what can you do, you know, at that point other than continue to protect yourself and
Yeah.
try to educate people the best that you can?
Yeah, it's hard when you have people, and I know we don't have to like get into this in detail or anything, but like when you have people that are close to you who kind of have different opinions about the situation or like their understanding of what's going on is, or their understanding of it is different than yours. Like, how are you navigating that in terms of, because having a baby is such a big thing. It's such a huge deal, especially for family and close friends. And this is your and TJ's first baby. So of course I'm assuming that everyone is planning on seeing this baby right when he's born. But unfortunately in the time that we're in right now, that might not be a possibility. So like, how are you navigating that with family wanting to be a part of his first, you know, his first moments of being here, but then at the same time, you want to be safe and it's just not really like realistic that that's going to happen. Like, how are you navigating that?
Yeah, it's been really hard, I think, setting boundaries, and especially because, like, of course we want that too, but all the medical advice that we're getting from, you know, our birthing team is to be really cautious. You know, our midwife told us, like, to really consider if we even want to have guests. And if we do, if they're coming from out of state, like, having them quarantine for full 2 weeks is not out of the question, and getting tested for COVID and seeing the baby outside only and with a mask on. And, you know, we live in an apartment building. We don't, like, just have an outside space. So right. It's been hard. Yeah, it's been hard to set some boundaries with, like, my parents and in-laws. Like, you want to keep everyone happy and share with them, but God forbid they got sick or the baby got sick. You know, we also were told that with us coming back from the hospital, like, we're going to be at an elevated risk to spread COVID too to, like, our family members. So how horrible would that be too, if, like, we went to the hospital and we're young and healthy, but we bring it back and then family members get sick. So it's really about keeping everybody safe. I mean, we have 2 more months. We'll see, you know, if things change. But if they don't, we're probably going to have to be pretty strict about, like, here's our parameters that you need to stick to be able to see the baby, unfortunately. So yeah, it's not the typical, like, pregnancy joy. Like, of course there's moments of that and we're so happy and grateful and, like, excited, but it's also been really difficult. Like, the normal anxieties that a new parent has are just extremely amplified, I think. There's just so much fear about, like, what happens if we become sick or the baby gets sick, or also, like, what if we lose our jobs. You know, like, I've been being paid to work from home from Brown, which is incredible, but how long is that sustainable for, you know? And it's just a lot of unknowns. And I think when you're having a baby, I don't know about you, but I really wanted to, like, have some plans in place for what happens next, and it seems like we just have to take things, like, one day at a time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the type of person who I like to know, you know, what's going on. And I feel like it would be really challenging to be expecting a baby right now. So you're doing a great job though.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. But I was just thinking too, like, how different it is right now for you, you know, experiencing this with your first pregnancy and then their first baby, and now, like, even me going to your baby shower, which is going to be, it'll be a Zoom baby shower, which is actually pretty cool, because otherwise I wouldn't be attending your baby shower, of course, because I'm here in Amsterdam. Right. And
realized too, we were like, well, it's not all bad. Like, our friends from abroad and on the West Coast can be a part of this. So
yeah, I'm actually excited, like, about that.
Yeah. But there's silver linings.
You yeah. Know? Yeah. I mean, I know that a lot of people, like, don't necessarily feel that way, because maybe they, you do have a pretty diverse network of friends and mm-hmm. of those of us who would love to be there who would otherwise not be able to be there. So that's pretty cool. But I know too, at the same time, it is kind of a bummer that you won't have that, like, physical baby shower where everyone's putting strings around your belly and playing, like, I don't know, who could put a diaper on the doll fastest. I don't know. I don't remember what games we played at my baby showers, but yeah, but I'm excited to be a part of the Zoom baby shower. That'll be fun.
Me too. And then hopefully Maxine and Sloan can jump on and say hi too.
Oh, they will be there. I mean, I can't be like, you know how it is. I can never have a conversation with you without them being in the frame. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so just kind of like going into your background in mental health. So, you are a therapist, and I know right now it's definitely a time where a lot of people are seeking, therapy and working on mental health, because I'm sure, and you can speak to this more than I can for sure, like it's something that a lot of people are struggling with right now. I think for many who were doing the self-isolation and everyone's situation is different than others, but can you talk about how the last few months have really impacted, like what you've seen? Obviously you can't talk about like specifics or, but I know that you work with a lot of women who are going through some challenging stuff that's maybe amplified right now during the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, like I've had a huge influx of new clients reaching out to me for therapy through my private practice especially over the past the past month or so, right? I think I had a couple people early on during the COVID outbreak, and then now just end of June, beginning of July, it's just been exploding. Like I'll get, you know, two new calls a day, which is a lot for someone who just works independently and, you know, has a website out there. You know, people are really, really, really reaching out for support, which is great. But it does speak to how much people are also struggling. You know, I pick up the phone and a lot of people call me and they're just in tears. Like they say that their life struggles and things that they've been through in the past all of a sudden are like coming to the forefront for them. People are citing, you know, because of COVID, like the social isolation, things being shut down, not being able to stay busy, having to be alone with their thoughts is just, yeah, like bringing up people's unresolved stuff. And I totally get that when you're forced to sit down and really think about things, you can't escape them. So, you know, now is a really great time to start talking to a therapist or start working with a coach. It's just the perfect time, because like if stuff is bubbling up for you, then that means there's an opportunity for you to be able to work through it, mm-hmm. and heal it and move forward. So I know that it's a hard time for a lot of people, but also sometimes it's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. I was going to say that, because I think even if you're not aware of before all of this, you know, we're all so busy all the time. And then we do have this sudden change, and we are at home and we are sitting with our thoughts. Like maybe, like you said, it's a blessing in disguise that we're really able to realize like, oh, hey, there are some things that I need to work on or I need to talk to somebody about. And it's amazing that we have people like you who we can reach out to and we can talk to and like have like a totally objective view on all of it. And I think that, yeah, it's something that I think we've talked about this a lot, that everyone should be doing therapy regardless of whether or not you think you need therapy or not. It can just be helpful for every single person. But I think especially right now for those of us who are experiencing this real struggle with things coming up, it can be a really, really good time to reach out and start working on that.
Definitely. And I've had so many people who called me who've been like, I've never done this before. This is brand new to me, you know, and they're nervous. And so it's really a great opportunity. And I'm so thankful for technology that we can, you know, have sessions remotely and it still works well. I'm connecting with people from Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island these days. So that's been great. And, you know, I think just another thing for people to remember, if you are struggling right now, in addition to definitely reaching out and getting support, is also just to give yourself a lot of grace right now. Nothing in life has prepared any of us for what it means to be living through a global pandemic. So fat just means for you just getting through the day. Sometimes that's more than enough. Like, don't put pressure on yourself to make something great come out of this time. If that's the case for you, then that's wonderful. But if it's not, just know that most of us are just trying to survive.
I love
that. We are living through like a global trauma almost, and we have to get through to the other side. So,
yeah, and I think right now could be a really good time for a lot of us to start unfollowing a lot of these Instagram page, because I even in the very beginning of all this, I'm guilty of being that mom who's like, okay, here's my schedule. This is what we're going to follow every day by the minute. I'm going to take advantage of this time and just like, you know, be super mom. Yeah. Day three of this, I'm like, what am I doing? This is not like, I cannot do this every single day. And like, let's be realistic. Like, let's take a step back and just really let what's going on sink in. And like, you don't have to, like you said, like, you don't have to be, this doesn't have to be a time where like you have to have this huge transformation in terms of like whatever it is, like being the best stay-at-home mom or homeschool teacher, or this is, you know, this is when you should be getting your six pack, or like, I don't know, I'm just throwing things out there. But I feel like for me, I realized that like a lot of what I was seeing on social media was like triggering me to feel like I needed to do better, or like this is a time where I should be, you know, teaching my 3-year-old her how to multiply and divide. That's not really, but you know what I mean? It's like, stop comparing yourself to other people and just like,
do what you need to do. Social media in general is that, as we all know, people generally just put their best foot forward.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
The struggles that people are having, and it's created this really false reality that we're all comparing ourselves to. And I think if you're going through a hard time, like many of us are with COVID, and being stuck at home or whatever other challenges, then that can be especially challenging when you're comparing yourself. So I think it's wise to have social media boundaries, if that means unfollowing certain accounts that are triggering, or putting time limits on your social media, or just removing the app from your phone sometimes is helpful. Like, if it takes an extra step for you to type in Facebook versus just going to
the or app. Just going on your computer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you recently like took a little break, right? Or I think I remember seeing. Yeah.
Yeah. I did. And I do sometimes, like a lot of times I'll delete just stuff off my phone if I'm getting overwhelmed by it, because it's constant, and it's interesting how social media is such a huge way that we communicate these days. And I think there's a lot of benefits to that. Like, people are connected and, you know, able to access information they never would have, but then it's a double-edged sword because we're addicted to it. We're constantly plugged in. And sometimes that means we're not present in our own lives, like where we are in our homes or our cities or with our families. So it's about learning boundaries with it, and that can be hard because technology can be quite addictive. So
we started trying to keep our phones on the counter. I mean, we haven't been great at it lately, but we were doing a really good job where we just, no matter what, we kept our phones on the counter, because I was noticing, especially with work, I would have my clients, and then I would constantly be like, oh, I need to look to see if they messaged me, or, oh, I remember something I need to tell them. And it's like, that can wait. And then also I would find myself just without even thinking about it or realizing it in the Instagram app, just scrolling, and I'm in the living room with the girls, and it's like, obviously I'm not present at all. And I'm doing this, and it's like a habit that I formed that I'm not even realizing that I'm doing it. But once I put my phone on the counter and like, I had to think about, oh, I want to go check Instagram, it's not like in my hand, it's actually on the counter, and I have to walk to the kitchen, and I ask myself, why do I want to look at Instagram right now? Like, why do I want to go into Facebook right now? Like, it's just it's totally.
Yeah, if you can start to be more intentional about yeah. it, like, that's great. Because, like you said, most of us are just scrolling. It's in our hand.
And yeah, it's not there. Like we're even realizing that we're doing it. And I was doing that too. So I do highly recommend that if you're struggling with that, or if you maybe you haven't realized you're struggling with, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Maybe you haven't realized that you're struggling with that. But now that we're talking about it here, you're like, oh yeah, I do the same thing. Doing something like setting your phone aside, or like putting it in a drawer, or putting it on the counter like I did. It was really helpful because it made me realize that I am on it way more than I need to be.
Definitely. And like, I know you mentioned also feeling the pressure to like check in on work. And I think if you work for yourself, or a lot of people are working remotely right now, like there's that pressure to constantly be on call. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I give this advice to some of my clients who struggle with that, because we all do, but to quite literally, like, it's okay, especially if it's a day off, or you're trying to take it easy one day, or, you know, what have you, a weekend, it's totally okay and acceptable to turn your phone off and put it away and say, I'm going to allow myself to check my phone at, you know, 9 a.m. when I get up, 1 o'clock at lunchtime, and, you know, right before the workday is over, or, you know, one or two times throughout the day that you find acceptable for you, so that you still feel like you're not missing something major, but knowing that it's okay to not be on call every second of every day. Like, they can, if, unless it's some kind of crazy emergency work, like if you're, I don't know, an ER physician or something, like usually people can wait a couple hours to talk to you.
Yeah. I started actually every night. Now I put my phone on airplane mode, and then I don't usually turn off airplane mode until like an hour or so after I've woken up. And the other day, Ethan didn't realize I did this. He was like, what if somebody calls you and like there's an emergency? And I'm like, first of all, if anyone calls me with an emergency, it'd be somebody back home. And like, what am I going to do in the middle of the night from Amsterdam anyways?
Right.
Do you, when that happens, do you hear that? Okay. There's like a chiming noise. I think it will be, it's a notification that I didn't turn off my computer. Sorry about that. Anyways, if you can hear the, that noise, but yeah, so it's like, I definitely don't need to be on call. And when I open my eyes in the morning and my phone is lit up with all of these notifications, it's like instant anxiety, not even anxiety. It's just like a little bit of, I don't know, this like stress that I feel.
You're already activated to like yeah, respond.
Exactly. Yeah. I actually, a few weeks ago before I was doing this, I woke up and I looked at my phone, and one of my clients had sent me a video of her daughter crying because she was like, this is what happened at bedtime. Her cry, this is what her cry sounds like. Do you think this is normal? Which obviously babies crying is normal, but it was like this different situation. But I watched that video as soon as I opened my eyes, and it like triggered so much stress in me, obviously, to hear a baby crying as soon as I woke up. And that's when I was like, I can't have my phone on. I mean, I really need to have these boundaries, not only with technology, but also like with work. So that's why I started doing it. But
yeah, so conversation. You could totally follow that, like, you know, two or three times a day that you like allow yourself to check your work messages schedule. Like, I know that's worked for some of my clients who were getting really bad anxiety around feeling like they needed to be constantly plugged in and on call. Something to consider, because it's, you're already a mom, so you're already on call 24/7, and you're mm-hmm. an independent like entrepreneur, and it's just a lot on your plate, and I'm sure that just means boundaries are even more important for your life.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I know like we didn't plan on talking so much about technology and social media and stuff like that, but I think it's like an important thing to talk about, and I think something that a lot of us can relate to. So like now transitioning out of this, Emily mentioned when we met, we were both a part of Teach for America, and then Emily went off to become a preschool teacher, and I taught high school special education. It's totally different, but like, what has it been like going from preschool teacher to going to Columbia, graduating, and now you're actually working with your, you have your own clients, you're working as a therapist. Like, what has that transition been like for you?
Well, I always knew I was interested in mental health and thought I might want to work as a therapist. But I also knew I loved kids. And so, you know, working with preschool babies was just like so much joy for those years. But I did realize that part of what I loved most about working with little ones and their families was that social emotional piece. During TFA especially, I did know that many of my students and their families had experienced trauma, and I could see how that directly impacted their ability to regulate their emotions and their behavior in my classroom. So that increased my interest in studying psychology at a higher level, for sure. And yeah, going back to school was great. I'm a big nerd, so I love going back to school. It was definitely a ton of work to be a grad student, as you know. But I think because I was studying something that I loved so much and was so interested in, it didn't feel as stressful to do that work. Like, I was really fueled by it. I was very engaged in pretty much everything I was doing. And living in New York City also is just like a very fun adventure. So I felt really lucky to be there. And then after graduating, I did transition to initially working with kids in mental health. So I worked with higher risk behavior teenagers in an intensive outpatient setting. And then the past couple years was working as a therapist, a trauma therapist, specifically for kiddos who had symptoms of PTSD in schools in New Haven, Connecticut. So I ran trauma groups with many, many children, ranging from lower elementary through high school. And so that was wonderful. Like, I absolutely loved that. Now in my private practice, I work mostly with adult women, although I do see a couple other people as well. And that's been another type of joy, because I feel like it's so important for women to have other women supporting them and to be lifting them up, and just to have a therapist who's on your side and advocating for you. So I really love what I do. But going back to the pandemic piece, holding space for people, emotional therapy space for people while being pregnant and during a pandemic hasn't been the easiest, you know.
Yeah, because you have your own mental health to take care of too.
Yeah, and like lately I've found myself really needing more time for self-care and not being probably as good about that as I should be. So I also definitely need to check myself and check back in and give that to myself too. So it's, you know, like with your business, it's so much about having good boundaries. And that is definitely a learned skill. It's not
I still need to get better at that, but I recently like took almost an entire month off. Which is weird because it's not like I made an announcement that I was taking a month off, but I kind of stopped posting on social media. And I only got a couple of moms that reached out to me that I worked with. So it was strange. So it's not like I announced this break that I was taking, but at the same time, I felt like I really needed it. And then for some reason, I didn't really get any clients except for two. But it was perfect because that's what I knew I wanted. And then this last week, that's when I decided, okay, I feel like refreshed. I feel like I took the time that I needed, and now I'm going to get back in and do the work. And it's like been a crazy busy week again. So I think it's really good for us to like set those boundaries. And if you need to take it, and if you can, of course, obviously this is not something everyone can do, but like if you can take that break, then you need to take that break, because I was just feeling really, I wasn't burnt out, but I was just, I needed to stop and like focus on me and my family and be more present. mm-hmm. with them. And I feel like I was just not doing that because I was so busy working with so many other moms who were struggling with their little ones' sleep. And I want to help as many women and kiddos that I can. But at the same time, I know that I need to take some time to myself.
Definitely. And like by doing that, you can be more present when you do work with those families. Mm-hmm,
exactly. So yeah.
It's such a funny twist where we think we need to show up all the time and be available for everyone all the time. But when we do that, then we're not focusing on ourselves and then we can't actually show up fully. So, you know, one thing I always express to people is it's not selfish to put yourself first, to have boundaries. Like it's actually quite thoughtful and intentional and allows you to show up for people fully when you do. And I think yeah. that that's better than like a kind of, you know,
yeah, we have to, effort. We have to take care of ourselves. I mean, it's like the example that's used over and over and over again, but when you're on a plane and those oxygen masks drop, you put yours on before you help anyone else. Like you put yours on before you help your child sitting next to you. It's like, we have to take care of ourselves because that, it's hard to take care of anyone else when we're not being taken care of and we're not taking care of ourselves.
And I think like there's been historically like this like martyr culture for moms where they feel like they can't do that. And even though they know it, it's just like, they may hear that and know it, but it's just not, they're like that. I don't have the time. Like I can't do that. Or they feel selfish or they feel like they're doing something wrong if they're putting themselves first. But it's once you can start to incorporate it, you'll be so thankful, I think. And so it's great that you're able to set that example for moms too by taking that break. Like I'm glad you did that.
Yeah. No, it's but I mean I just like anyone else, I still constantly feel like mom guilt over things. Like even if I feel like I need to take a little bit of a break and I'm fortunate enough to where Ethan will take over and I'll be like, yeah, you know, not lately really, but before I would be like, hey, I'm just gonna go out for an hour and like get a coffee. Do you mind? And he was like, yeah, of course, like on a weekend or something. But then the whole time I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, I need to get back home. Like I feel so guilty for leaving. Like he shouldn't have to take care. He's the dad. He's like totally mm-hmm. capable and he wants mm-hmm. to. It's all in my own head, you know? It's like,
yeah, but it's also not in your own head because I think culturally we still put that pressure on moms.
Yeah.
And dads get like participation trophies just for like doing the bare minimum. So it's great that you guys are working toward making that more equal, you know. I know TJ at one point said something like, well, I'll babysit him on Saturdays when you go do your work. And I'm like, it's not babysitting when it's your child.
Yeah.
So we're constantly trying to fight for equal co-parenting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Ethan is really great at it. And we've like come a long way. I remember the very beginning after Maxine was born, I think she was like 3 days old and he was like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the gym. And I was just like, okay. I mean, yeah, what else could he have done? We had a new, it's fine. But I remember feeling like so resentful in those first few months because it's like when you will find this to be very true, I'm sure as well. When you become a new mom, like your life changes dramatically, like everything changes. But for dad, it's like, obviously there are changes, of course, but it just doesn't seem like their lives are as much impacted as ours are. And it's very challenging in the very beginning to see that because not only are our bodies changing and we are growing this human being inside of us for months, like almost a year, basically, and we give birth and like then the whole, you know, all of that afterwards, like how your body feels, it's just, and then we look over at our partners and they're like, you know, just unfazed by it all.
yeah. And I think that you and I both have great partners who want to do better and who want to make things so much more equal and, you know, who are open to feedback, which is great. And if there's any men listening out there, like, you know, that's super important, like be open and be asking what you can do to help, because yeah, like the burden, especially on our bodies and minds, like does often fall on women. I mean, it literally falls on us to like physically. So when men can step up, they really need to.
Yeah. And I think even for women who are stay-at-home moms who, like, even if you're not necessarily working, you're working, you're still like being a mom is a 24/7 job. So I don't think that any of us should ever feel guilty about our, if you have a partner at home who can help, like asking for that help. Yeah. Like they might be bringing in money financially. Like they might have a job, but at the same time, your job literally never stops. So I don't know, because I have talked to a lot of women and they're like, yeah, but he, you know, he works and like he needs a break when he comes home because he's like so tired. And it's like, yeah, but you also need a break too, because you will literally have a mom burnout if you don't. And if you Absolutely. Don't have somebody at home who can help you, then I think it's really great to have like those close friends and to set up like a network of moms who you take turns like once a month or something, like switching places and just taking a, getting a 2-hour break, I feel like does wonders.
Definitely. And, you know, like, I think you bring up a really important point of like reframing what we think about as valuable work, because yeah, like one partner might bring in much more money, which helps provide for the family. But if you're the person quite literally doing the dirty work, like, you know, changing diapers and feeding and raising and physically handling these babies, I mean, what is more important work than raising another human being? So we really need to value raising children and childcare more and give
moms, yeah,
who do stay home, like a lot more credit.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you, yeah, maybe like now I feel like to kind of go into a little more positive things. Like, what are you looking forward to the most in becoming a new mom?
Yeah, I think honestly, probably seeing my husband become a dad, watching him like fall in love with the baby throughout the pregnancy has been a really unanticipated joy for me. Like, it's really a lot sweeter than I could have even imagined. So I'm really excited to see that transition. And I've always loved children and wanted more than one. So I'm excited. I don't know. I'm excited to have him here. And I'm really excited to have a toddler, as crazy as that sounds.
Take back those words. I'm just kidding. Like, coming from someone who has two toddlers, sometimes I'm like, is this real life? Like, I don't...
I know, they're like little emotional terrorists.
Oh my gosh, they're so emotional. What did Maxine get upset about this morning? Oh, because she wanted to go make her bed. She saw me making the bed and she said, I'm going to go make my bed. And she ran into her room. But then of course, Sloan ran behind her wanting to help. And it literally set off like the biggest meltdown just because Sloan followed her into the room and she wanted to make her bed. So yeah, have fun with that. I mean, no, it's great. I do. Yeah. It's like they're getting older and I think things are getting so much easier, but at the same time, toddlers are their own.
I think they're so funny. Like I know that it's so stressful to have a toddler, but like I've also babysat for so many kids throughout my many years. And just the things toddlers say, man, like it cracks me up. And they're just like little, like unstable little bobbleheads, and like just like I just think their movements and their expressions, like it just cracks me up. Like I just really like that toddler through preschool age is my favorite. So
yeah, it's really like really interesting. I mean, yeah, Sloane's almost two. She'll be two next month, and Maxine will be 3.5 next month. And just like the things Maxine says now, it's, I don't know. She's been saying the most random things every morning when she wakes up. Like the first thing she said to me yesterday morning when she woke up was, what's a diamond? And I was like, what? And she said, what's a diamond? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, where did this even come from? And then last night she woke up yelling in her sleep saying that we need to make sure to invite all the kids to Sloan's birthday.
Nice. At least she's so protected her sister.
Yeah. It's fun, but I'm like, I'm so excited to watch you like just become a mom. And like, I know you're going to be an amazing mom, but I'm so, so excited to like kind of watch you experience it all.
Thank you. It'll be fun. I'm excited to share him with you. Hopefully sooner than later.
Oh, he'll come when he, you know, just a couple more months. You can do it. And then, so I know you're, so this is, that was what you're looking forward to the most. And like, I mean, we all have worries becoming, especially like the first time little ones. So like, what's one thing that you're worried about? And maybe that can be related to like COVID stuff or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think to be fully transparent, the thing I'm most nervous about and have always been most nervous about becoming a parent is losing my freedom and like sense of self. I like to be around other people, but I can also be pretty independent and sometimes need to like be alone to recharge. And so, yeah, so I know that's something that I'm going to have to learn how to navigate and take into serious consideration to take care of myself and be a good mom and partner.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I'm sure you understand that concern having
to. I do. And the fact that you just said, like, you know, sometimes you like to be with people, but sometimes you just need to be alone. Yesterday I was thinking this, actually, and I was thinking like, I am somebody who really loves my alone time. Like I feel like I am just somebody who really needs it. And I think that can be the most challenging part of motherhood for me is like, you are with these little beings 24/7. I mean, right now I'm really lucky. Ethan takes the girls to his parents, 1 to 2 times a week, which we never did before, before now. So that's been really amazing for me. So I've never been in our home without the kids. And that's just crazy to think about. So whenever I needed to have like a little time to myself, it would be outside of the house. Like if his parents came over, I would leave to go work at a cafe. Or Maxine's first year, or after she was 1 year old, she was in daycare 1 day a week. So that was, I guess I did have it then. So I lied a second ago. So I did have that 1 day a week after she was one. But yeah, just really like
Sloan came right away after that.
Yeah. So. And then Sloan was here and she's never been in daycare or anything. So
yeah.
So I realized like, I just never had really that alone time that I needed. And so I can really feel it. Like when we have a lot of days where I haven't had any time to myself, I'm just like, I just need to go to the bedroom and shut the door for 30 minutes. Like I tell Ethan, like, I'm just going to make my coffee, go to the bedroom and like meditate or do whatever I need to do and shut the door and just like have 30 minutes to myself. And, that like really helps me recharge. So that might just be something you have to do because it's a lot. It's like when they're, especially when they're little, it's constant.
Yeah. It's like a symbiotic relationship. They literally need you all the time almost to survive. And yeah. So I think like, it's amazing that you've even figured out how to set those boundaries, even within your home, even if it's just for like 30 minutes at a time, like that can be make or break for a lot of people, you know. We all, even the most extroverted person needs alone time now and then. So figuring out how you can best give that to yourself. And even for people who are like single parents, you know, if that means figuring out after your kid goes to sleep, you know, having some time to yourself or being able to, you know, rely on a friend and go out for just a short walk or something, but we all need.
Yeah, definitely. That's why that's why I love what I do. It's just like helping families get their little ones sleeping better. Because it's like, if you're already a mom, then you probably have like no time to yourself. But then if your baby's not sleeping, then you don't even have like those evenings or like those naps that you know can expect. And like, if you don't have that, then I just feel like it makes it 100 times more difficult. Because I know, because that's how it was with Maxine. It was like, I was exhausted all the time. I mean, you can look back at my social media posts and you would never know it, of course, but I was exhausted. Maxine was waking up like every 2 hours until she was, I mean, when we found out we were pregnant again, she was 9 months old and she was still feeding through the night like multiple times. And it's just not something that you can sustain.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's so important what you're doing, because sleep is obviously really good for the kids and they need good sleep to develop and be healthy, but it's also good for parents and families. Like, we all benefit from our kids sleeping better. So, yeah.
And that's something I will be able to help you with. Hopefully. I mean, maybe you won't need any help at all. Maybe.
I'm sure I will.
You'll set the foundation and yeah, no, it'll be great. I don't think you're going to have a hard time with that. Okay. So just to wrap up the conversation, what I do want to start doing with every guest that I have, and I've seen this done on other podcasts where I got the idea, but if you had to suggest one book or podcast to the other women, possibly men, but let's be real, it's probably all women listening, what would that be and why?
Okay. Is it okay if I recommend a couple?
Of course. I already, okay, so, in my mind, I know what you're going to, I feel like I know what you're going to recommend.
You already know, because we talk about them all the time. I think you brought this up in a previous podcast, but the Conscious Parent and her follow-up book to that, The Awakened Family by Dr. Shefali Tazberry.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. Love an incredible them both. Book. Yeah. Both of them are incredible books, that teach families how to really consider their own like unconscious conditioning and attachment and how that plays into their interactions with others and especially in their parenting, and also to reflect on the parenting that they received growing up. I really like those books because, like, as a therapist and then as a to-be mom, I think they're really important, because when we become conscious of our behaviors and patterns and the reasons behind them, that's when we can really actually choose to be intentional about our choices and our behaviors and our parenting.
Yeah, that book really helped me. Like, when I was getting really frustrated or impatient, I would stop and like think, okay, why am I feeling impatient? Why am I feeling frustrated? Like, what about this scenario is making me feel so mad inside or frustrated inside? And then realizing it's like, it really has nothing to do with my child. It's right. Like me, it's like all internal. But yeah, those were,
it's like our own triggers from our own wounds and our own possibly unmet needs. So yeah, and like that's the thing, right? Like, none of us can be conscious and intentional 100% of the time, but if we can like move that needle further and further, like, that's incredible for us and for our kiddos. And you know, a lot of us maybe had difficult family narratives growing up or unmet needs, and we really do have the power to break free from those narratives and to choose another path. And I really like those books for helping on that journey, in addition to like therapy, of course, which I think is, as we've mentioned, like, great for everybody. And then the other book, which you know I'm going to say, is anything written by Glennon Doyle.
We talk about that. Which, too. Like, I actually, admittedly, like, I haven't read any of her books yet, but I've read so many reviews and listened to so many interviews with her. And I don't know why, because I have, like, other books literally sitting next to me on my nightstand or on my desk that I'm currently reading. And so I'm like, I know that Love Warrior and Untamed are going to change my life, and I just need to read them.
Yeah, I even just, so like, my biggest self-care throughout this pregnancy, because I haven't been able to, you know, go to the gym like normal and things like that, has been going for hikes and then listening to podcasts and audiobooks. And so when Untamed came out, which was during my pregnancy, I just walked and listened to it, and she narrates it, which is fantastic because she's so fun and like animated. And I just like anything that she writes because she really teaches women to live freely and like without fear. And I think we all could use that in our lives. So
definitely agreed. Well, Emily, thank you for being my first podcast guest.
And
hopefully the first of many others. I have so many other women that I'm talking with, and I think that all of your stories will resonate with the listeners. And yeah, I just want to thank you again for being on. So
yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, and lastly, like for those, sorry, for those listening, they want to follow you maybe on Instagram or social media or your website, like can you just give, I know you only work with women right now that are in Rhode Island, Connecticut, and
Massachusetts.
But so for those of you listening, if you are in one of those three states, you can reach out and work with Emily, but also her Instagram. I love your page. It's so funny. Ethan will say, oh, I really like Emily's post today. Or, oh, did you read that quote that Emily posted? And he's always talking about your Instagram.
He's so, so funny. Sweet. He's like one of my favorite people.
So ladies, even your husbands can follow Emily and like her posts too. But can you just share with everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, definitely. So on Instagram, it's just Emily Love Therapy. And then my website is emilylovetherapy.com. And you can reach out directly through that website if you are interested in possibly working together.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you again and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you again for tuning in for today's podcast episode. If you do enjoy listening, I would love it if you'd hit that subscribe button. Then every week when a new episode is up, it'll just nicely remind you that I'm here and ready to be listened to. And if you could go in and leave me a review, that would also be amazing and greatly appreciated. I hope you all enjoy the rest of your Friday and have a wonderful weekend. And I will see you all again next week. Bye.